right. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you turn to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, we're in a study about Moses, and we're going to be talking about really the plagues today. We'll be talking through the plagues that God used to try to get the attention of Egypt and also to get the attention of Pharaoh. Have you ever tried to get someone's attention? You ever tried just yelling in a crowd or just some way? Maybe it was that boy or girl that you really want to date and you're trying to get their attention. Maybe it's walking by. Maybe it's trying to strut yourself a little bit and just show off who you are. You're trying to get their attention. Maybe it's your kids. I know in the crowd sometimes my kids will call out, "Dad, Dad." And a lot of times you turn and you look and you realize it's somebody else's kids that were calling out, right? And then when your kids are actually calling, then it ends up being they're calling, "Dad, Dad, Dad," and you don't turn, and finally they have to end up saying, "Hey, Heath," and I'm like, "Oh, that's me, I'm the dad this time," and so you're turning. So trying to get somebody's attention, and you work so hard at getting their attention, and yet you just can't seem to get the attention. Well, that's exactly what's going on here. Today we're going to be looking at chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. Are you ready? You better be ready, because this means that if you're not ready, we're going to have a long day. All right, and I know you want to get out and get to food. Can you turn me down just a little bit, please? All right, very good. So Exodus chapter 5, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Here's what the Bible says. "Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.' But Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? Do you not know the Lord? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go.'" Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to remember what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for forgiveness. And God, now as we move into this moment, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would have freedom in this place. I pray that you would speak through me. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would remove all distractions, give us ears to hear, open our ears, open our minds so that we hear what you want us to hear. And then, God, I pray that you'd give us courage to apply it to our lives so that we walk out of here a different and a changed people. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, so here's what we have. We have Moses has been called. You remember chapter 3 and 4, he gave all the excuses. God was calling him from the burning bush to go back to Egypt and to begin to speak to Pharaoh and to deliver God's people out of the land of Egypt. Moses gave all the excuses, and after giving all the excuses, he finally surrenders and says, "Okay, God, I'll go back. I'll go do what you asked me to do." So he goes back and he stands before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's response, did you see the response? "I don't know who this God is. I don't even know what you're talking about. How dare you?" And you can almost hear the laughter and the sarcasm. "The God of slaves is telling me what to do?" You hear the pride and the arrogance. You see, Pharaoh, his entire life has been told that Pharaoh was a god, that he was a god, and everything that he spoke would come true, and everybody had to obey his every whim, everything that he ever desired. They had to follow his command. So when somebody comes into his court, in his place, and tells him what to do, he says, "Yeah, right, there's no way." And especially a small, meager, little god like the God of slaves. "Why would I listen to you?" Here's where we begin. Here's where we begin. You see, the Bible tells us over and over again throughout this passage that God was wanting to put on full display who he was. That his goal and his desire was that Pharaoh would know that there was only one true living God. That weren't multiple gods, that there was just one God. Over and over again, we're told that God wanted to display himself to the Egyptians so that they would know that there is a mighty God. You see, what God's primary purpose is this, is it's about his fame, it's about his glory. And it's about you and I acknowledging who he is and living in a relationship with him. That's his highest goal. That's his highest priority. His fame, his glory, and to display it for all to see. And he invites you and I in to a relationship with him. It's an incredible thing. And so his goal is to get Pharaoh's attention, to get the Egyptians' attention, to say, listen, you need to listen to and pay attention that there's only one God and you're following many others and they're not God. I am the one true living God. And so Pharaoh bucks up. It's like he begins to flex his own muscle. You are going to tell me what to do? Your God is that powerful? Yeah, right. And so he begins to flex his muscle, if you will. Have you ever asked a little kid to show you their muscles? They're all always excited, especially little boys, right? And then they put their arms up, and then you go, oh, wow. And it's a lot of fun because they want to display, right? So Pharaoh gets mad. He says, who is this God? I'll show you how powerful I am. And he steps up and he says, okay, from here on, I'm not going to give you any more materials. I'm not going to give you the straw. I'm not going to give you everything that you need to build the bricks and to make the bricks to form what you're supposed to do. So as slaves, you're going to now be responsible for not decreasing your quota, but keeping your quota at the same, and you have to go out and find all the supplies. So he flexes his muscle. Well, Moses comes out. I mean, he was expecting, honestly, I mean, if you had a burning bush experience and God told you to do something, you almost expect God just to roll back everything and it'd be an easy walk, right? And many times that's how we are with our Christian life. We trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we expect the road just to get easier. But many times, especially when we begin to commit to God, what happens is we are faced with more and more problems. And so Moses hears it got harder. So he walks out a little discouraged. He gets a little frustrated, and he's like, I don't know what's going to happen. Next thing you know, the leaders of Israel, they begin to complain against Moses, saying, Moses, what are you doing? I thought you came to help us, and instead you've made our lives even harder. So Moses gets a little frustrated, wouldn't you? Saying, God, where are you? I'm trying to do what you asked me to do, and it's only getting more difficult. It's only becoming harder. So God, where are you? What are you doing? And God comes back and he answers chapter 6. And chapter 6 is an incredible chapter where Moses is discouraged. He's frustrated. He's saying, God, I thought you were going to show up. And it's an incredibly hard circumstance now. Life got harder for all the Israelites. Moses is now in hot water, not only with Pharaoh, but Moses is now in hot water with the leaders of Israel. And he says, God, I don't want this job. I want to give it back. I don't want to be your man. Where are you? In chapter 6, God answers, verse 1. But the Lord God said to Moses, now you are about to see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong arm he will send you out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. God says, I'm going to show you something, Moses. And then God begins to do a list. And I want to just draw your attention. I went through and I highlighted and I underlined and I circled and wrote in here. God over and over again in this chapter says, I am. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He repeats it several times. And then God does something else. He says, I will. I will. I will. I am. I will. I am. I will. And he goes over and over again. And I think this is a great place to maybe help each one of us. When you're facing a circumstance that you can't control, it's out of your hands. And it's so much bigger and you're wondering where God is at. What we need to remember over and over again is this. You ready? Who God is, I am. Who God is, and what he has done, what he will do, his promises. You go back to that over and over again. When you don't know what's happening, and it seems like God is silent, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, you go back to who God is. Who is God? He's the great I am. He's the creator of the universe. He's all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing. And you go back to it over and again. And then you go back to his promises. I will, I will, I will. And what will begin to happen is this. Your faith will begin to grow. When you don't understand, you'll begin to say, okay, God, I don't know. I don't understand. But I will trust you because of who you are and what you promise. Do you see it? So all of chapter 6 is God counseling and encouraging Moses. Moses, you don't know what's about to happen, but I'm about to show up in an amazing way. You don't know what's about to happen, but I'm about to show up. You see, we already know about the plagues. Moses had no idea what was about to happen, right? He hadn't read chapter 7 yet. He hadn't heard about the rest of the plagues. He was just sitting there going, everybody's mad. I made life miserable. God, where are you? And God says, I am. Remember who I am, and I will. That might be just what you need to hear today. We could probably wrap up, and that right there be enough. But yet, we need to follow on. Now, here's what we have. From this moment on, we're going to watch as Pharaoh's heart becomes hardened. And here's the funny thing about a heart. A heart becomes hardened as it's exposed to God's word and rejects it, and it doesn't obey it. When we don't obey God's word, our hearts become harder and harder. It's best illustration I can give you is clay. All right? When you look at clay, it's soft and moldable at first, and they form it into whatever shape or design. And the same sun that can actually melt clay has a potential of also drying it out and hardening, making it more hard. That same clay. So if you add a little bit of water, the clay becomes softer and the sun is able to keep it soft. Does that make sense? But without the water, without the sun begins to dry it out and the clay becomes harder. And what I want to show you is as God begins to work, and as God begins to work in Pharaoh's heart, his goal and his ultimate purpose is not to bring judgment to be mean or to be hateful. Because what we miss so many times is this, is that we just see God as a judgmental God who doesn't love and doesn't care. But God's purpose, from the very beginning, when he called Moses, he said, I want to show Pharaoh who I am. I want to show Egypt who I am. God's purpose is always to bring us into acknowledgement of who he is so that we would be in a right relationship with him. And at any moment, Pharaoh had the choice to choose to respond to God. Does that make sense? Okay, now here we go. Let's walk through it. So chapter 7 comes along. Chapter 7, and it says this. So Moses and God gives Moses a promise. He says, I'm going to make you like God before Pharaoh. Verse 3, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs, Pharaoh is not going to listen. And then he says this, so I'm going to lay my hand on Egypt and bring a host of people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. What is God's purpose? He wants you to acknowledge who he is, that he alone is the Lord. Do you see it? I don't know how many times I want to repeat it over and over again. Because God is not out to hurt you. God is out to bring you into a proper relationship with him where you acknowledge who he is and you surrender to him. Okay? And then you walk in this relationship with him. That's what his goal was. So now we get into the plagues and we begin to walk through the plagues. Here's the first plague. Verse 14. So God tells Moses to do what? To go out to where Pharaoh's out. Pharaoh's out by the Nile River. He says, take your staff. You and Aaron go out. Take your staff. Take that staff and hit the water. And when you strike the water of the Nile, it will all become blood. Can you imagine the moment? It becomes blood, and that means the fish begin to die. Now, have you ever been around rotting fish? It's not a very pleasant smell, is it? It almost begins to make you gag, especially when you have a lot of guts everywhere, and it just really stinks. So all the fish begin to die. The blood, all the water turns to blood. And the Bible tells us that not just in the Nile, but in all their canisters, all of the wood basins, in every place that they had fresh water, it was gone. And for 7 days, they're without fresh water. Now, when we have a natural disaster, what's one of the first things that's brought in? Even if it's a flood, they bring in what? Clean water, right? Because you need it to drink. You need it just to sustain life. And God hits the Egyptians immediately hard. And all of their life, their way of life, all of it's done. Now, you remember Y2K several years ago when everybody was predicting, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, I remember we filled up the bathtub with water. Just in case, we needed some more water. We had a bunch of places, so we filled it up, and we were trying to save. But can you imagine, everything that you were trying to save and protect, even that water was gone, and it turned to blood. And yet, here's how Pharaoh responds. You ready? His magicians do the same. Verse 22, but the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remains hardened. Verse 23, so he turns and walks into his house and says, no big deal. He doesn't take it to heart. So he goes down to the second one. So chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, all right, it's time to go. I want you to go back, and now it's the frogs. Now, how many of you remember as a kid catching little frogs? It rains, and you go out and catch the little frogs, and they hop all over. It's a lot of fun, right? Now, let's get real honest. Ready? How many of you have eaten frog legs? Raise your hand. All right, good. How many of you like them? Anybody? Oh, really? I don't care for them at all. But anyway, that's neither beside the point. Now, frogs, it's okay to go out and catch them, and I like having them out in the yard. That's fine. But once it gets to this point where they're jumping everywhere and they're coming into the house, that's a little gross, right? What about your bed? A couple years ago, we had in our backyard, we were cleaning up some stuff, and we pulled back some plastic. And when we pulled back the plastic, I'm not kidding you, frogs this big, bullfrogs, just huge. And it scared the fire out of us. We jumped because we weren't expecting huge frogs underneath. So pulling back your sheets and having frogs in your sheets, to jumping down into your bathtub, to jumping out where you're trying to cook, everywhere you go, frogs. Now, that would be enough to gross you out for a little while. Every time you stepped, there's a frog. Squish, squish, and you can't kill them off. They keep coming, and they keep coming. And then you get to this point where Moses comes back to Pharaoh, and he says, all right, Pharaoh, are you ready? And he says, yes, I'm ready. He says, tell me the time. When do you want this to happen? When do you want the frogs to be gone? Verse 10. I would have said immediately, wouldn't you? Absolutely, right? There's no way I would want to stay around it. But verse 10 says, Pharaoh says what? Tomorrow. Why? Why would you want the frogs one more night? Why would you want that? I don't know. I don't even know if he knows. Verse 15, here's what happens. As they began to gather the frogs, they all begin to die. It stinks. They get shovelfuls, and they begin to shovel the frogs out. Verse 15 says this, when Pharaoh saw there was a respite, what does he do? Repent and get right with God? It says that he hardens his heart, and he would not listen. So the third plague comes on. Now, I want to, something kind of unique here is the third plague, the sixth plague, and the ninth plague. Every third plague, there's not a warning. God just sends the plague. So I'm not sure what the number is. Maybe some of you can come back and tell me what you think it is. But every third plague just comes on immediately. So the third plague comes on. It says, the Lord said to Moses, go out, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it becomes gnats in the land. Every time we get around dirt, my kids like to kick up the dirt. You know what I'm talking about? They just, you're just walking out. You can be dressed up for church. You can be dressed. But if there's dirt, we got to kick it. And it's always, you spew it up. And the dust flies. When this staff hits the ground, the dust flies and it becomes gnats. Those little bugs that you can't stand. And they begin to swarm all over. And it's not just in one place. You ever been running, and as you're running, you run through one of those little swarms, and it gets all in your mouth? So it's everywhere you walk, everywhere you turn. And then they start flying into your ears. And you're trying to get them out of your ear. Then they're going up your nose. They're going all over. Those little single bugs, that's just frustrating, right? And it goes throughout the entire land. That's enough to drive you crazy. I don't know why you would want to keep that around. That right there might be enough just to say, okay, I'm done. But instead, here's what the Bible says. Verse 19, the magicians, they come around and they say, Pharaoh, we can't duplicate it. We can't do the same thing. This must be the finger of God. So, Pharaoh, you might want to pay attention. This is bigger than us. Now Pharaoh gets a warning from other people, other friends, colleagues that he trusted, right? And they said, this must be the finger of God. Pay attention. But instead, Pharaoh's heart was what? Hardened again. So the fourth plague comes along. So the Lord says to Moses, rise up early, go talk to Pharaoh again. And now, God says down in verse 23, he says, okay, I'm going to draw a curtain. And from here on out, anything that I do, the land of Egypt's going to feel the brunt of it, but there's going to be this curtain, and I'm going to protect the land of Israel. I'm going to, Goshen, the land of Goshen, where Israel is living, I'm going to protect them. So there's going to be a distinction. There's going to be a difference between my people and the Egyptians. So God calls out, and it calls out flies. Now, these are the big flies. Have you ever had those big flies land on you, and then they start biting? You know what I'm talking about? That's frustrating, isn't it? And then you're trying to slap them, and then they're huge and big, and then the guts everywhere. Think about it. All over, everything you touch. I mean, you can't eat anything because there's a fly. Ugh. There's another fly. And the flies come, the flies swarm, and the Bible tells us what? The Bible tells us in verse 32, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time again and did not let the people go. Chapter 9, we get into the fifth plague, and now it's the Egyptian, the livestock. And God begins to smote the livestock. So God has taken care of their water. God has taken care of their fish, which was their major food supply. God has hit the land in many different ways. And now he's going to hit milk from the camels, from the cows, from the goats. He's going to hit their transportation. Can you imagine no longer having your cars running anywhere? What would you do? It would shut down the economy, wouldn't it? And all the land of Egypt, the animals began to die. And yet, they looked across, and Pharaoh asked, and he gets a report. Really? Over in the land of Goshen, no animals, no livestock, none of them are dying? And they said, no, Pharaoh. Oh, that must be a coincidence. That must be a coincidence. So Pharaoh, verse 7, hardens his heart again and did not let the people go. Verse 8, now the Lord tells Moses, okay, now you go into Pharaoh and I want you to take some ash and I want you to throw the ash up in the air. And when you do, it's going to become boils all across their bodies. And the magicians, they were not immune to it at all. They felt the pain. The boils began to come up. And these were huge sores all across their body, all over their body, that oozed with gunk. Just pus, and it hurt. And the magician said, Pharaoh, pay attention. Listen. This is something we can't do. They can't stand before Pharaoh anymore. And again, what does Pharaoh do? Verse 12. And the Lord hardened his heart. So the seventh plague comes on. The Lord said to Moses, go out and show yourself again to Pharaoh. Let my people go. For this time, I'm going to bring the judgment on you again. And hail begins to fall. Now, we had a hailstorm this week, right? It's frustrating getting, you're driving and you're sitting there going, oh, I hope I don't get a huge dent. So you drive slower and you're trying to get out of it and you're trying to find the place. A few years ago, we had Vacation Bible School. If you remember, during Vacation Bible School, we had huge, like golf ball size hail that began to fall, and we had to get kids into all the different places. And in Texas, we have all kinds of hail. This hail was so big that it began to kill anybody who was out, and it also had fire. Now, that would be pretty strange, wouldn't it? So not just the lightning from the sky, but it must have been striking and causing some fire to begin to start up. The magicians look around and say, we can't control the sky. There's no one who could do this. This must be of the gods. And Pharaoh again looks around, and what does he say? Wait. Verse 35. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And in the land of Goshen, there was protection. There was protection. All across, God's hand was protecting his people while he was also bringing this judgment on. Chapter 10. So we come to another one. It's the eighth plague. It's the plague of locusts. Have you ever had a swarm of grasshoppers come around you? When we were in Decatur, we had a swarm of grasshoppers that first year that just came out. And they would come through and they just tore up all of the plants that we planted outside. And then they started eating the screen on our windows. Who would have thought they would eat the screen of your windows? But these huge grasshoppers. So what has happened is all the hail has come through and it's devastated the crops. And now God sends the locusts in to finish off every living thing. Their economy is being rocked. Every one of the gods that they have worshipped is destroying them. And yet, again, I want to show you, what does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh does, again, chapter 10. He comes back and he says, okay, maybe you need to plead with God to release. And then verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he did not let the people go. And then we get to the ninth plague. So the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there might be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. I would have really liked to have seen this one. This one intrigues me. Because in the land of Goshen, there's going to be light. But during the day, in the land of Egypt, there was darkness. How does that happen? I have no idea. But it was so dark, the people felt it, and they did not go in and out. And it was for 3 days. It was for 3 days. Now, let me remind you once again that God's primary purpose was to do what? To display how mighty and how great he was and to draw them towards him. And it was a response that they got to choose. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit about this picture of the resurrection, this picture of the death and burial and the Passover. We're going to talk about that next week for Easter. It's an incredible picture of what Jesus has done for you and I. So before we go there, here's what I want to do. I want to just kind of end here, because here's what I know for each one of us. No matter who we are, God knows how to get our attention. God knows how to get our attention no matter who we are, whether it's me as a pastor, whether it's someone who's been saved for 50 years. God knows how to get our attention. And the question becomes, if God is trying to get our attention, to draw us into a proper relationship with Him, to acknowledge who He is, then what are we going to do about it? And here's our choice. You ready? Here's our choices. Our choice is this. Number one, it's real simple. We can choose to respond in humble obedience to what God is saying. And if we respond in humble obedience, here's what you'll find: mercy and grace and forgiveness. Isn't that amazing? First of all, maybe some of you have been running from God, and you've been running from God, and you know you've been running from God. And I just want to encourage you, you ready for this? That God's grace is greater, and He is asking, and He's inviting, and He's pulling, and He's saying, come on in. Give me your life, and I'll forgive you, and I'll make you new, and I'll make you fresh. If you never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's an incredible offer to be able to be right with God. And then, you ready? Then here's the next step. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the next is for us to walk in humble obedience to Him in every area. Where God's Word speaks, we say yes. We don't change it. We don't turn it. We don't try to make it out for our own ways. We say, God, if that's what You've said, I will humbly obey. That's a huge step. And when we're willing to do that, here's what we find. We find a God who's gracious and merciful, and He brings us in, and we get to have this right relationship with Him. And that's what He's calling us to. That's what He's calling us to. So whatever area you're in, whatever's going on in your life, let's respond with humble obedience. Now, here's your second choice. I wish we didn't have to talk about the second choice, but we do. The second choice is this, is that when we're confronted with the Word of God, when we know what the Word of God says, when God is calling us and saying, this is what you're supposed to do, right and wrong, this is how you're supposed to live, here's the next one. We can choose to say, God, I don't want to do it your way. I think I need to do it this way. And here's the danger. You ready? The danger is to walk away from God saying, I know better, like Pharaoh. And as our heart becomes hardened, each time we say, no, I'm going to do it my way. No, I need to do it this way. And we reject what God's Word says. Our hearts become hard. And what happens is this. We reject in arrogance. And the danger is God knows how to get our attention. He's doing it out of love because He's trying to draw you back to Him. And the danger is that we could be ruined by our own arrogance. Do you see that? You hear it? See, Pharaoh wasn't exempt. The land of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at that time, was not exempt. And there's no one sitting in this room or listening who's exempt from this principle. So here we are. When you come face to face with areas in which you're going, I failed in obedience, I'm failing in this, I need to come. What God is doing is He's saying, okay, come back. And if we're willing to come back, what we find is mercy. We find grace. So I want to encourage you. Let's respond. Let's respond today by choosing to be right with God. To saying, God, You are great, and I want You to be in charge of my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your love and Your goodness. God, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty. To know that, God, You are all-powerful, and that, God, You know how to get our attention. So, God, when You begin to try to get our attention, I pray that we would respond with humility and a willingness. Help us not to bow up in arrogance, but help us to respond properly to You.
Thanks for listening to the Oaks Cast. The Oaks meets on Sundays at 9 a.m. for traditional service and 10:30 a.m. for contemporary service. For more information, you can visit us at discovertheoaks.org.